What's up, guys? Welcome to Fourth Quarter. We're back for season three. It's really like season eight, but it's season three, guys. Welcome back. Everybody is good. How's everybody doing? Craig, how was your summer so far, man?
It was pretty rough, not gonna lie to you.
What?
Yeah, my mom had a car accident, and then
she's
good now. Her car is totaled though, so she got to get a new car. But she's straight. It's just still going through certain pains and stuff like that, and physical therapy. And then I had a sinus infection. I just got over it like 2 weeks ago, maybe about 2 weeks ago. Like my ears were clogged up. I had no smell for a little while. Stuff like that. So I had the same thing a couple years ago, but this time it was worse because both ears were clogged up. So it just finally went away, like 2 weeks ago. So other than that, though, I've been chilling. But that was that lasted for about a good month. It started around 4th of July. Jeez. And it ended around the beginning of August. So it almost about a month.
You have to take. You had to take medicine.
Yeah, I had to take prednisone, some type of steroid, I believe. Pills. It's like you take like 6 pills for like 4 days, then you take 5 for the next 4 days, just go down from there, 6, 5, 4, till you get the one. And then it finally came back. I had to go to the ENT and everything like that. And then that's what she put me on. And if it didn't unclog, I guess I would have to go through and get surgery done. But fortunately, I didn't have to do that. So back to normal.
Damn, that's good, man. That's good. I've been, I don't know. My summer has been pretty decent. I just traveled to Boston for my job. That was pretty fun. Boston food was good outside of the conference. The conference food was not good. Mm-hmm. One of my coworkers told me that. She was like, the conference food is not going to be good. So, you know, for lunch, it'd be like a buffet style. And then the last day, they said lunch is from 12 to 1. And I got down there at like 12:15. They were closing up shop at 12:30. They probably were sick of us, man. But it was like 500 people. It was a good conference. It was people from other states and departments. It was pretty nice. Besides that, I've been having a pretty good summer, man. It's been really chill. I haven't had a chill summer like this in a minute. Usually I'm like ripping and running, and that break that we have is necessary, man. I'm going to continue to do that. This is just a necessary break, man. You know, it's much needed. Mo, how was your summer so far, bro? I know it's a happy belated birthday.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate
happy birthday, man.
I appreciate it, man. We went to New Orleans. I got out went to New Orleans for a national convention. Had a good time out there, man. Realized that the Popeyes down there is totally different.
It's different.
Up here, the red beans and rice. Now the spot we was on the strip, they showed you on the tenders as far as the size, but that joint spicy, that joint got a little more kick to it. But the surprise was the pizza's bomb down there. I ate mad pizza down there.
Yeah.
Like they put it in a little oven, like you watch them do it, they take it, boom, put it in the oven for you. Like, man, I was eating pizza almost every day down there. I was down there from Tuesday to Sunday. I think I had pizza every day except for one.
You ain't eating no alligator, y'all?
Man, they had a little alligator bites. I ain't tried them joint. I did have jambalaya in it. So jambalaya, went down there. One of my brothers in my organization, he ended up proposing to his lady down there.
Oh, so that's nice.
We ended up going to a restaurant down there, and I ended up getting what they called it. They called it a
etouffee.
Yeah, jambalaya something, and they gave the catfish with the jambalaya, but I don't like the food touching, especially in that situation. I was new to it, so I asked them to put it on two separately. So they had catfish and jambalaya. Man, that jambalaya was something serious.
I'm telling you, that joint is bomb. That toothpaste is bomb.
And the catfish, like I bang with catfish. I'm a catfish and whiting type person. That catfish was bomb.
Yeah, man. Craig, you've been to New Orleans, right?
Nah.
Man, Craig, it is.
I heard about it, though. I heard about the Popeyes and the food and like. Food. I wanted to go last earlier this year, but I didn't. I didn't go. My cousin went. She said it was nice.
Would you try to go for Mardi Gras or was it Fat Tuesday?
I think that's what she went for, Fat Tuesday or Fat something Tuesday, like that, or around that time. Yeah. I was gonna go a long time ago when I was stationed down in Mississippi, but I just didn't go. It was around Mardi Gras time, but for some reason I didn't go.
It's nice, man.
I heard it was nice though, but
yeah, I'm gonna take, I'm gonna take Faith down there. Mo, me, Todd, and Jamal went for my 30th birthday.
We got to watch the fight. One of the dudes brought his the fire stick thing and hooked it up on the back, so we didn't have to go nowhere. We just went up to his room and watched the fight.
Oh man, speaking of that,
oh man,
no, that's the first. Let me tell y'all guys something. That's the first fight I bought in like 4 years.
And you was bad. You hot.
Listen, the way Spence was talking, I'm gonna take his soul. I was like, all right, this is gonna be a good one. You know, Mo, you haven't met her yet, but Craig knows Rose is a big boxer, like boxing fan. You know what I'm saying? She boxes, her brother's boxing, all that. I think her brother's boxing recently. I think he just won a fight. I think so. She's big into it, right? She was like, Crawford is going to dominate him. I was like, I don't know. Spence is big. And I ordered it. I got some pizza, wings. I watched it with Faith. By the time Earl Spence got knocked down in the second round, Faith was like, he's getting beat bad. She was like, I'm out. I'm going to bed. And I ended up watching the rest of the fight, but Spence got punished. He got beat bad, man.
He lasts longer than I thought he would. When he started really getting on, I was like, this is about to be over. I was like, he ain't going to make it to this.
He got punished. Craig, did you see that, Jake?
I raced home from the Eastern. I went to see my mom and them.
Yeah.
We had my cousin wanted me to come over and eat some, he fries up some snakehead bites.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've never had a snakehead.
So he fried up some snakehead bites and some fish. I mean, some wings. So I went over there and chilled with them for a little while, and I was like, yo, I got to leave by like 7 so I can make it home by 8:30.
Right.
Because the fight starts at 9 or whatever, or it starts the pre, whatever it is.
The pre-card.
I was like, all right, cool. And then I got home. I think I had pizza. I had picked up pizza at like 8:30 on my way, and then I had stopped home, and then I was into the fight, and then it was just a dominant. It was just dominant. I was really. This is the first fight. I said this is the most anticipated fight that I've wanted to watch probably since maybe Canelo and Mayweather or something.
Yeah,
like, it's been a long time. Maybe Mayweather and Pacquiao. Maybe even I guess Triple G and Canelo. But like, it hasn't been a fight that had this much hype in a long time for me. And it was just disappointing. So I think there's going to be a rematch though, but. I don't know if anybody wants to see the rematch, especially how dominant this was, but
right now,
I don't know, man.
The messed up part is it'd be the rematch and everybody don't watch it, it'd be a classic. Everybody be like, oh man,
it might be, but Spence has to do a lot because his stock has dropped.
Yep,
I ain't gonna say he needs to retire like Stephen A. Smith. I don't know what that was about, but I just think he needs to get back into the get focused into the gym again, but. Hopefully, it'll be a better fight. I don't know when it is. Maybe next May or something. But I know there's another fight coming up with Canelo.
Yeah, Canelo and Charlo. That joint might be good.
We'll see. After this fight, I'm just like my hype meter is down for any type of big fight anymore because it just didn't live up to expectations.
It's gonna be interesting. Tank called out Crawford, but Crawford's not moving down. It doesn't make sense. Crawford needs to go. You know, I think Crawford wants to fight Charlo next at 154. It's no point of him staying at 147. He just beat Spence.
Yeah.
And he beat Sean Porter and all of that.
But I think Spence has an automatic rematch.
You said, huh?
I think Spence has an automatic rematch. Like, whoever lost the fight, I thought, had an automatic rematch if they wanted it. And I think Spence said he won it.
Oh, like a rematch clause, like in the contract?
Yeah, he has it at 154.
At least after the fight, he said he won. Yeah. I don't know how he's going to feel. I mean, he might still feel the same, but I don't know. But yeah,
I don't know what Stephen A. Smith was talking about.
He just talked.
I was like, I don't know what he was talking about because in boxing, like, Floyd Mayweather went 50-0, but the other 99% of great boxers lost. It's okay to lose in boxing. You just have to get up and keep fighting. Sugar Ray lost. Like, you know what I'm saying? Durant lost. Like, this is just, it is what it is. Like,
I don't listen to Stephen A. Smith unless it has something really do with basketball. If we don't have anything to do with basketball, I don't really pay attention.
You don't pay attention with the football stuff? You
know, I don't for the most part because he's just not a he's a basketball first guy.
Yeah, he's a basketball.
So I kind of pay attention to that. He's been doing it for over 20 plus years. So I listen to that first.
Football. I think the only thing I listen to him with football is like Stephen A. list. Like I like to laugh. And I like their commentary on that when they do the Stephen A. list.
That's fun. Like I like that. That's not. I mean, that's like a funny segment. So I do listen to that because it's just funny.
Yeah, but he likes basketball
for the most part. Man, he's got to have some experts to come in there.
I like when he going to Cowboys though. I do like when he be on the Cowboys. That's funny like, too. Cowboys
set. Yeah, and the Stephen A.
Like, he be like, "What can go wrong? Will go."
And he started bringing up them old
be true, though.
And he was crying and everything last year. Yeah.
But it'd be true, though. What can't go wrong, do go wrong with Dallas. Like, they do some.
It's going to be interesting. Anyway, speaking about the NBA, we're going to get right into it. I know. We'll get into the USA question later. But everybody's talking about Harden. Now, Mo, I'm going to start off with you. Harden just called Daryl Morey a liar twice. I think that was yesterday or today. Right?
Yeah.
He says he's not going to play for Philadelphia.
Well,
but he did opt into his, I think, $35 million contract. Yeah, what do you think about that, Mo? What you think of the situation in Philly?
At this point, how can I put this? As men, I feel like there's no coming back from it. Like, I feel like now with all this, even as I know it's a business first, but as men, I feel like at this point, you got to trade him. Like, how do you actually have a sit down now, especially like you said, he done came out twice publicly. Not you know, man to man in your office, not like, all right, it was between us and maybe Embiid in there. We talking about publicly on live streaming, on publicly comment and called you a liar twice.
Yeah,
and they said I'm not gonna play with him. And out of his mouth, and they said I'm not playing for an organization that's ran by you. So how do you come back from that? So how does it look like for Harden now if he like recants now and comes to organization when you done called the owner a liar twice, and then said I'm not playing for an organization that's ran by him, and then go back? That just looks real, real crazy to me. So I think he's gonna be gone. And then I was talking to a buddy of mine, mentor of mine. I said, I think Embiid might shoot. If he don't come back and they have bad season, I think Embiid might ask for a trade next season. Embiid ain't gonna stay around wasting his career, especially if he's seen Jokic just get a championship. And now seeing that big men are kind of back and Jokic done got a championship. Yeah, like, he's not about to sit around and be like, oh, y'all about to clown me, you know, for not winning but putting up good numbers. Like, especially if he just got an MVP too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about to be messy. I think Philly about to be, it's sad that, and I'm glad Doc Rivers got out of there right now with all the stuff going on. But I mean, I do pray for Nick Nurse that he can. I know he's probably sitting here looking like, oh my goodness, what that came into now. Like, I tried to get this job hoping it was gonna be this, and now all this going on. So yeah, I think Harden's gonna be out of there. It's gonna be interesting to see where he would possibly go, but it's no way what they gonna make him hold out and sit out, because you still got to pay him. So like, if he say I'm not reporting to camp, they going to put on some type of trade soon or something. But they said they was ending trade talks, and now this happening. So it's just Philly just crazy right now.
Craig, I know you. I want to hear what you have to say.
I mean, to me, Philly holds all the leverage. Like the organization holds all, because Harden, if he has to play, or he has to play, he cannot sit out during the start of the season. Because if you sit out more than 30 days at the start of the season, you can't enter free agency. That's in the CBA. So
Jeez. He's
kind of screwed if he doesn't play. So the Sixers hold all the cards there. So I don't know what kind of he's in no position to actually do anything other than suit up and play at this point. If he doesn't, then he's screwed because, like I said, he can't enter free agency. He violated his contract, and there's nothing he can do. I mean, that's just how the CBA is at this point. So unless when the next time it comes up, players might think about changing that because it doesn't benefit them if they want to sit out. Now he's going to be a distraction to the team and all this other stuff. So it could probably be, well, it's in the best interest for Philly to probably look to trade him because you don't want to have a distraction or like a headache or that type of player just causing unnecessary extra drama for a team that can't get past the second round. So he's in a no. I mean, but who wants a guy like James? He just seems like he's unhappy. Other than maybe Houston at the time, it's like every place he seems to have gone, for the most part, at least lately, he just doesn't want to. He's just not staying there. So if you trade him to another team, what's to say that team that gets him, the Clippers or whoever, he's going to be happy there in, I don't know, 7 months or whatever it is, a year from now.
Yeah,
he's just a. I mean, as great of a player as he is, or was, or whatever, or still can be. Yeah, I mean, he averaged 11 assists last year, or something like that. So, as great of a player as he is, like, he's just too much of a headache. And people talk about, I know I've talked about Kyrie Irving and his antics and things like that. But my God, like, this is another one. Like, it's too many. The NBA is just full of divas in the NBA. It's unfortunate because you pick out a handful of players that do this, and you kind of associate everybody all together for the most part.
Yeah.
At least maybe like casual fans or like people who just kind of getting into basketball or whatever it is. You see guys like this, and it just make a spectacle. And guys, for the most part in the NBA, they pretty much get what they want. They want to get traded. Eventually, they will get traded, or it seems that way anyway. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, like these guys, and these are big now bomb superstars. So
all three of them were together. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and it didn't work out, unfortunately, because of injuries and because of Kyrie Irving to me and Steve Nash. He just wasn't a coach for that team. But I just don't know what James Harden's end goal is. I mean, I guess his end goal is to be traded, but like he has to be there during the season.
Yeah.
Or he's screwed. He's screwing himself. So I don't think he wants to do that. So if the Sixers don't want to trade him or they're not going to trade him, he's just going to have to be there.
Yeah. So, I think that Philly promised Harden a long contract and they didn't give it to him based on his play. I was listening to Gilbert Arena podcast and they were like, nah, don't in life, don't ever take a discount, which I agree with, right? I mean, you opt into the contract, you signed it. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what was shared with, you signed it. So Harden shouldn't have signed it, even though Daryl Morey could have lied. We don't know. But Daryl Morey is probably like, nah, this ain't working out. You know what I'm saying? And that sucks for the player because, you know, Daryl Morey said, hey, you know, opt in. We're going to try to win a championship. We'll sign you after the season. And a crazy thing, this isn't just a regular GM and a player. They have a good relationship, you know?
Man.
So it's just very interesting. Now, I do think he's going to get traded. I don't think he sits out. I think he becomes a huge distraction, Greg. Listen, James Harden is a veteran and know how to get out of a place. People are joking, like, I saw this cartoon, like, he's about to put on a fat suit. It's like, come on, man. He still looked to the Rockets looking crazy. They traded him, and then he lost all that weight like 2 weeks. I was like, he is an expert of getting himself traded. I give him that. But Daryl Morey says he wants to go to the Clippers. I get that. Which Westbrook is on the Clippers. But Daryl Morey says he wants Terrence Mann. He wants Terrence Mann, and the Clippers are going. They're saying no, because they don't want to pay Harden. Because think about it, if they sign Harden to a 4-year deal, he's going to win out in a year. Can you imagine that? 2 years, he's like, all right, guys, I went out. It's like, golly, you just got here. So I think he forces his way out. I'm looking at the salaries right now. Because don't you have to match salary? You don't have to match salary, do you?
Him?
If Philly traded to the Clippers, they don't have to match salaries, do they?
I don't know what kind of free agent he is. I mean,
he's on a 1-year, $35 million deal.
I don't even know.
I don't know how that works, but he said he wants Terrence Mann.
I mean,
I would do Terrence Mann for James Harden. Probably Terrence Mann. Probably Nicholas Batum.
If you want to win the championship. If you want to just be relevant for 1 year, have the opportunity to be relevant for 1 year. But then again, you have to know that Harden's going to get hurt, Kawhi's going to get hurt, and Paul George is going to get hurt. You have to know that. So you're relying on pretty much Westbrook, or maybe those guys don't get hurt at the same time. Now you can try to tread water until the playoffs.
Yeah, because they got
– they have. I mean, if they get that with those four people, that could be a problem, but just the egos. Well,
if they get Terrence Mann and say Terrence Mann and Covington, James Harden, they'll be okay because they still got Nicholas Batum, they got Paul George, Bones Highland's okay off the bench, Kawhi, KJ Martin is decent.
They
got a lot of young people. You're right. Maybe that's not why they're doing it. They got Marcus Morris. They got Mason Plumlee. Norman Powell is decent.
Yeah, Powell's pretty decent last year.
Yeah. Westbrook. Zubac is decent. With Nicholas Batum, that'd be all right.
I feel bad for him. He's never getting out of the second round.
But if they get Covington and Terrence Mann, that's tough though.
I still don't have them getting out of the second round at this point. I mean, they can't get past. They've had plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, Embiid and Maxey, which we had what? That would even be Maxey and whoever.
They would have
Tobias,
Embiid,
Tobias Harris just stole money.
And Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris going to lease up people that stole money.
Yeah,
I looked at how much he made as a base salary. He made more than Harden and Embiid last year, I didn't know at times during the playoffs we didn't know he was on the court.
Yeah,
there's no way you make over $30 million and you can't even average 15.
They got a decent, 76ers. If they do that, that'll bolster their depth. But Dame is probably gonna go to the Heat. They're gonna find a way to make that happen during the season. The Heat with Dame is a problem because he fits like perfectly there.
But then the NBA sent I think the NBA sent a memo out to people like, and even the Dame and his agent, because of what he said, like if Dame goes somewhere other than Miami, he would be unhappy. He wouldn't like play or would sit out or wouldn't, give best effort or whatever, something like that.
Yeah, but it's the NBA, man. And the difference between James Harden and Dame is Dame is kind of put in the time. And to be honest, they kind of drafted his replacement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dame is putting the time. He has. When everybody was getting traded, he was like, I don't want to get traded. I want to be in Portland. And then they draft Scoot, and he's just like, this is a replacement. We got to be honest.
I mean, it's a rebuild up there in Portland.
Yeah, it's a rebuild. So I think they'll make it work for Dame because of what he put in. You know what I'm saying? Now, that depth on the Heat, jeez, man.
Well, they gotta get rid of some people if they're going.
Yeah.
I seen
I'm looking at it now. It
three or four teams trade deals with like the Clippers and the Bulls and the Heat and the Sixers. Clippers, Bulls, Heat, Sixers. Yeah. No, Clippers Bulls, something like that. Clippers Bulls Heat Blazers or something like that. It was like a 14 deal.
Yeah.
It was like a, you know, fake thing, but saw that if they did this, it could work. Whatever it was.
There's a lot.
It was like Jack Levine was in it and James Harden, Dame.
I can't remember
who else, but it was like a crazy deal. So I don't know, man. I thought this was going to happen a while ago. We're in August now, and it just hasn't happened. So the talk has been dying down. So I kind of lost interest. And then Harden came out and started talking again. I'm still not really interested in it because I just don't think he has any type of leg to stand on at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's why I think it's a difference between the two. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get why Dame said he wants to be traded. I totally understand it. Like, Harden, I guess if Daryl Morey lied, I can understand it, but his track record is like,
it's
back to back trade.
He's just never happy anywhere he goes. Yeah. Can't satisfy him or something.
And I feel like the Clippers are like, I don't want that. Now, for everybody to be healthy, it fits. It fits. James Harden would be a two, right? Westbrook the one, Paul George the three. You do a small ball lineup, Kawhi the four. That's a mean lineup if they're healthy. I think it all fits, right? What do you think?
That's a mean lineup if they're healthy. It'll fit. They're not going to be healthy, but it'll fit. It's just the – not only are they not going to be healthy, but they're going to take time off due to low
– except for Westbrook.
Which I can't stand. Westbrook is the only
– I
can't stand low management. I think it's stupid. Yeah. But the – but Westbrook, I'm also not an owner or whatever it is with superstar players on my team.
Yeah.
But – Westbrook is probably the only guy that you can rely on to play every game and give – 110%, whether he can shoot or not. Yeah. He played good. Well in the playoffs in that first round.
Played good.
Yeah, he played better than I thought he was going to play. And he shot the ball pretty decently, but it just wasn't enough. He was just him.
Yeah.
So
Ty Lue said that.
He took a big pay cut.
Yeah, Ty Lue came out and was like, he said that Westbrook's a great leader. But he also told Paul George and Kawhi, like, we got to ramp it up this year. You know what I'm saying? We got to play more because you don't want to end up being – he was like, last year we were in a place where we you couldn't rest for 10 games because we had to get into the playoff, this certain playoff spot. He's like, y'all got to play more during the regular season to guarantee that playoff spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we know we have the third – spot, we're locked in with 5 games left, then you can rest. But he was like, you know, Ty Lue said this on All the Smoke podcast. He told them both, you know. And then Paul George has a podcast. You know, he had Jerry West on there. I need to watch it. But Jerry West was like, y'all get hurt too much.
Yeah, they do.
Y'all get hurt all like. Paul George just looked surprised. Jerry West don't have no cut cards. I don't know if you know that by now. He don't know how to – he going to say what's on his mind. He doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? But he was like, y'all guys don't stay healthy. You know? The one time they stayed healthy was in the bubble, and Denver came back 3-1. I would have loved to see a Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals. That would have been phenomenal. But they were up 3-1, and they let the Nuggets come back. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird, man. But anyway, let's say this, right? U.S. basketball is playing right now. I watched some of the game the other day. It was a preseason game on at the same time, Mo, and I watched U.S. basketball. I was like, preseason. Oh, USA basketball. Click. So Gilbert Arenas. So it's a couple stars that's not on there. Trae Young's not on there, right? Gilbert Arena said the Team USA has a sorry-ass roster for the FIBA World Cup. And he said this in a conversation with Trae Young. But he also said the reason is because Nike picks his own players, and that's why the roster looks like this. Now, not everybody on a roster is USA. They represent Nike. Some people represent Adidas. Some people represent it's a Chinese shoe company. Some people are free agents. But I'm going to read off the list, Craig. And I want you to say, do you agree with Gilbert Arenas about the roster? Right? So here's the roster. They have Pablo Banchero, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Jaren Jackson Jr., Cameron Johnson, Walker Kessler, Bobby Portis, and my man Austin Reeves, AR. The team. Anyway, I like Austin Reeves, man. He's a good young player. USA basketball roster is different, but he's a good young player. So, Craig, do you agree with Gilbert Arenas?
I mean, the roster is sorry. But it is. But, I mean, at the same time, it's not the Olympics. So, yeah. I don't know if anybody care. I don't care about FIBA.
No, I don't care.
I don't even know when FIBA is going on. Like, I do know when the Olympics is going on, and I do watch the basketball for the Olympics.
Yeah,
and I know that half – and to me, it's fine because most of these guys, if not all these guys, are not going to make the Olympic team. So
yeah.
You get these guys some playing time. You get these guys, like, some type of confidence before they go into the regular season. They get to play on a national level to represent the U.S., but they're not playing in the Olympics because they're not going to make it for the most part. And – you know, did you know that in 2019 that the U.S. team that they sent over finished seventh? No, nope. Nobody knew that. I mean, well, not to say nobody, but most people don't know that because nobody cares. It's FIBA. Like, it's not the Olympics. And on that team, that team had Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart. Like, these are some big name guys. Like, that's five guys right there that are all-stars, or one's a former defensive player of the year. Donovan Mitchell scored like 70 something points in one game. The Brown and Tatum got to the finals. Like, Middleton won a championship. Like, these guys, and they still finished seventh.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, and that was 2019. So they were younger back then, but I mean, it doesn't matter because the roster was, to me, talent-wise, it was better with those guys than it is with this team coming up. But at the same time, I don't think it's a big deal because I just don't think people care about it as much. It's just, to me, it's just not a big deal. I think when they get to the Olympics in 2024?
Yeah. Craig, I had to remember. I literally had to go back and was like, was there a 2020? And it was, but I swear that was.
They canceled it. They did it in 2021 instead of 2020 because of COVID.
Yep.
So it was 3 years ago, or it will be 3 years ago coming out next year. So, and no, I mean, like I said, nobody cares about this for the most part, unless you're like a really true doc. Maybe if you're Gilbert Arenas or something like that, he clearly cares. I don't care if Trae Young's on the squad or not. If Trae Young makes Trae Young should be on the Olympic team. I would care about that.
Yeah.
In next year, some of these guys turn out to be like Pablo Banchero. I think he's probably the best player on this team, or one of the best.
Pablo?
Probably. Talent wise, anyway.
Maybe
he might have a chance to make the Olympic team, depending on, because I mean, a lot of those guys that went a couple years ago are not going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
So those guys are kind of fading out.
I got the list. You want to hear the list?
For the Olympic team?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they even had the roster.
Yeah. It's Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Jeremy Grant, Trayvon Green, Drew Holiday, Keldon Johnson, Zach LaVine. Keldon Johnson was he was young. You know how they always have that young college person on there?
Yeah.
Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, JaVale McGee.
Oh, my God.
Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum. So yeah, okay. their drink was stacked.
Yeah, now you compare that roster to the roster of FIBA, it's just not even close to me.
No, it's not even close.
So I don't understand what the big deal is, because I don't think a lot of people are even gonna watch. I don't think a lot of people even know that it's going on. Because it's not like
I heard Steph.
He's never been in it, which is weird to me. I don't understand.
Steph, why. Right?
Hey, he's never been in it.
He said, this is what I heard. His Brandon Jennings and him are real close. Steph always has the tough crowd on. That's Brandon Jennings' closing line. They're really close. And he was hanging out with him with golf. He said this. He said this. He said Steph gonna be in Paris. So all right.
I mean,
I would like that. I hope so. I would love to see Steph. That is crazy. He's never been on an Olympic team.
Yeah.
He like 35, isn't he?
He's getting up there to finally, if he's gonna go for once.
I hope so. He needs to.
But yeah, man, like I said,
him and Clay need to do it.
Yeah, that'd be dope. But I don't think this is a big deal. I don't even care. I'm not gonna watch it. I don't care.
I understand. I kind of agree with you. I looked at the roster. I like that all the young players. I see some future stars. Like I like Anthony Edwards. I like Paolo Banchero. I like Brandon Ingram's on the borderline all-star if he stays healthy, but I like Brandon Ingram. I like his play. I like his mentality. I like Jaren Jackson Jr. too. So it's good to see the young guys trying to, you know, keep up with the you know, just going out there and jumping out there. Because, you know, a lot of the great players played on Olympic teams. Kobe played on two. I think LeBron played on two.
I think he's played on three.
LeBron might have played on three, maybe, yeah. Kevin Durant. Carmelo might have played on.
He's played on like
three or four. Yeah, his international basketball is crazy. Carmelo will play in all these like FIBA Cups and all that. So it's going to be – I just like how the young guys are coming out. And they're representing it. But I think this roster is going to look totally different.
I don't even think the roster is that horrible. It's just like if you're looking for stars like Kevin Durant Devin Booker to go on the FIBA team, that's not going to happen.
Tatum and Jaylen Brown might.
On the FIBA team?
No. I'm sorry, on the Olympic team. Yeah, they're not going.
See these guys on the FIBA team. These are for like young up and comers for the most part. I mean, yeah. Bobby Portis is on the team. He's like almost 30, but for the most part, all these guys are kind of young. So,
Still development, still getting a name out there.
You're just not gonna see a lot of these big time stars on the FIBA team anymore. I mean, unless they're like younger.
Yeah,
I just don't see the big deal.
Yeah, Mo, what do you think about it?
It's not so I can see if Giver's context is comparing it to what you would normally see or what you want to see. Okay, that's fair, but it's not like they're a bunch of scrubs. There are people who, if you take away who would normally do it, they're pretty much the next up that you kind of would think about being on the team.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's not like they're a bunch of dudes that nobody would even look at, think about, anything like that. So I think for the FIBA, it's cool. But I know if you're talking about going out there representing USA, trying to win something, then I might be like, you got to add some stuff. And I don't know about that. But representing FIBA just to, you know, get by, that is a decent roster full of dudes that are hungry, you know, or like a dude like Bobby Portis who's going to do the little things for you. You always got to have that dude on the team that's just going to be the little thing. He ain't going to go out there selfish. He ain't going to go out there jacking up no shots. He don't go out there and just do little things to try to win.
Good veteran.
Good old veteran. So I like the roster. I like the young dude from Orlando. I think, you know, he's come in and like we know it's been a bad stigma about dudes coming in from Duke. That's come out of Duke and ain't done nothing in the league. So I think dude came out.
You know, Tatum is good. Kyrie is good. Work.
I mean, over time.
Look at Craig. Craig loves that.
Yeah.
Chill out, man.
But you're right. I mean, you're right.
So, you know, so to see him come out and be, you know, come out like he did and really, you know, he played well. He dominated some games. So it's like, you know, I like him. Well, Ingram, I love the work Ingram's put in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I love the work Ingram's put in with his, you know, a lot of people was talking about small frame. And I think coming from L.A. where it was like he wasn't ready. A lot of dudes, see, what a lot of people don't realize is, and it's off topic, but it's not. A lot of people, we can hype them, but they're not ready for certain markets. And I don't think Ingram nor D'Angelo Russell was ready to be a number two pick
in those type of markets.
Yeah, and you throw them in that market and say, go win, go be faces of the franchise, and some dudes are not ready for that in big markets. So I think Ingram has fit well in New Orleans, who is it's still a strong market, but it's not comparable to L.A. Like, that's a lesser market to where you got to, you know, the pressure's not on as it is in L.A.
Yeah, L.A.'s a different.
Yeah, so it's LA's like
– different, man.
So I like what Ingram has done. You know, he's become a leader there. He's become the star, especially with, you know, Williamson hurt and trying to, you know, lose weight and trying to get himself back, you know, speed recovery. I mean, I would do what's to do well, but – yeah, I feel like Ingram's done a great job taking over and being the leader.
Yeah.
So I think it's a competitive roster if you're talking about FIBA. But I wouldn't say, no disrespect to them, but I wouldn't say keep their roster intact and put them up in the Olympics. Nah, I wouldn't say that. Now I wouldn't say that now.
Yeah, I do like Paolo Banchero. I like him. This is going to be interesting. I do like how they're jumping out there, though. I like it, you know. I like, this is only going to make them better basketball players, you know. So, and then probably the USA roster is going to look different. So, it's going to be interesting. Like, I can see Jimmy Butler on it. You know, it's going to be loaded. It's going to be loaded. But anyway, Mo, let me ask you this. We were talking about this right before we got on live. The Jets signed Dalvin Cook. The Patriots signed Zeke Elliott. What are your thoughts on the Dalvin Cook signing? And I'm not saying this, but a lot of people are saying this. They're saying Super Bowl or bust for the Jets. I don't agree.
I get it, but the owner put himself so. I was just talking to a buddy of mine about this, and I feel sorry for Robert Sala. I hope I ain't saying his name wrong.
No, I think you're saying it right.
I pray for him because the heat's gonna go on him. I just talked to Ty. I think I was talking to Ty about it. And I said I was talking to Ty and I was talking to Mitchell, but I said when the owner comes out and pretty much says we're a quarterback away from a Super Bowl, and your offseason, you really didn't add nothing of really significance. You added people that close to Aaron Rodgers, but you didn't add anything else outside of Aaron Rodgers that remotely say Super Bowl, we trying to win now. So for you to add Aaron Rodgers and then for you to give the not only bring Dalvin Cook in there, but and at this late in the game to give a dude $7 million for one season, you ain't there ain't nobody that's gonna sit on no pine. That's you saying we want to win right now. Yeah. So I think the pressure on the head coach is immense. Like for me, I would say the only way he keeps his job next year is if they go to at least AFC championship game.
Jeez, do you like the Dalvin Cook signing?
I do. They just put an article out there. They said the Jets running back room is just ridiculous because they just took Breece Hall off the PUP list. They still got Michael Carter from North Carolina. I think he came out of North Carolina or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they got a dude. They used to call him Bam, but Xavion Knight, I think he came out of NC State. And then they drafted a dude in the fifth round. So, of course, you only really carry what? Game day, you only carry what? Three backs? So, it'll probably be
Michael Carter, Dalvin Cook, and probably Breece Hall.
Yeah. Three backs. So, he just took them off the PUP list. So, they said the plan right now is to give Dalvin Cook the majority of the carries in the beginning of the season to let Breece Hall, like Breece Hall, start to, you know, regain his stuff. And they're going to go, and then they're going to mix it up then. But they're going to give Dalvin Cook the early carries to try to let Breece Hall, you know, get his feet back under him. But I mean, I like it. If you want to talk that kind of talk, bring people in that is going to win. I don't think that's a, I don't think your running back room is good, but when you don't know what's going on with Breece Hall, if you don't really truly believe in Michael Carter as a number one, if a Dalvin Cook out there and your pockets are good for it and you got the money to do for it, I don't have an issue with it. You know. Mm. Now if Breece Hall was fully healthy and they did his move, I might be why? Like, but for Breece Hall to come just coming off a ACL tear and then you know just take him off the pup list and he knows the pressure that he done put on here, like, hey, we got a running back out here, Dalvin Cook, who I still believe is a top 10 to 12 running back in this league. I'm like, why not? You know what I'm saying? Why not? He's sitting there.
Yeah. Craig.
I like the Dalvin Cooks. I like
both signings.
I kind of like both, but I like the Dalvin Cook signing more just because I think that he's in a better situation to actually win. And with Breece Hall, like Mo mentioned, Breece Hall coming off the injury, he just came off the pup list, I think, today, right?
So yeah, he came off the pup list today.
He's probably not going to be ready for the most part during the start of the season. So in order to get him up to speed, instead of just – I mean, I guess you could throw Michael Carter out there, but you have a veteran who had like 1,200 yards or close to 1,200 yards last year despite having a shoulder injury. And Dalvin Cook, and you could just – you're getting them on the cheap, so you can throw them in there. I mean, if Mike White, or who was there last year, or if Zach Wilson was the quarterback, I don't think Dalvin Cook signs with that team. But you got Aaron Rodgers there, and you got all these guys trying to win a championship this season. It makes it a lot easier. And plus, Aaron Rodgers probably knows Dalvin Cook. He's obviously played against him.
Yeah,
up when he's in Minnesota, so you know he sees what kind of player he is. So why not just go out there and take a flyer on a guy who can get you, when fully healthy, at least 1,200 yards rushing. Now you have him combined with Breece Hall, who had a great season last year despite going down with an ACL, I believe. So he averaged almost 6 yards a carry. He was explosive last year. So
yeah.
It's probably not going to be strong right at the gate, but then you bring him in, ease him back in, and then eventually, probably towards the middle of the season, he can take over the number one role and kind of have Dalvin Cook be the number two, or how you want to work it. It's going to be kind of – I'm kind of interested to see how that works, because you got two guys who could be number ones.
Yes.
A young guy and a kind of an older veteran who coming up – both of them coming off of injuries. I just want to see how that's going to work with this group. In New England, Zeke is not the same back as he was a couple years ago. Everybody knows that. His worst yards per carry, I think, since his rookie season last year. Yeah. But he still got in, get you vulture touchdowns. So you need a guy on the goal line, you can just give it to Zeke. Now, I feel sorry for Stevenson because, unlike Breece Hall, he's coming off an injury. Stevenson's healthy. So he's going to be there for the start of the season. It's just, I don't think they needed to sign Zeke.
Yeah.
I think the Jets kind of needed to go out and get like a veteran back to start the season. So it's kind of different. Plus, I don't think the Patriots are a contender to do anything this year, but I think the Jets are. So it's kind of different there. But I think that the Patriots have a new offensive coordinator in general this season, it'll be a lot easier for Mac Jones and things like that. And Zeke can probably benefit from that. He will benefit from that. It's just Stevenson, he caught almost 70 passes last year.
Yeah.
He had 1,000 yards last year. So he was a beast last year for that team. Now Zeke's coming in. He's probably going to take some goal line carries away or some short yardage carries away possibly.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to really do too much in the passing game, but you know, it's you know, with these younger guys, man, you want to kind of – we've seen it before. The running back position is just undervalued, or I guess that's the word, undervalued. Like, you can just go out there and pluck any running back off the street for the most part, it seems like, and just put them in there, and then they'll just make it work for whatever amount of dollars, because they don't want to pay these guys. So you want to kind of keep Ramondre healthy, kind of just same like Breece Hall. You got to get these veteran guys. You can kind of run them a little bit and then just spell them. And you kind of have them saved for the end of the season, especially for the big playoff push. So,
yeah.
you know, it's that's cool because nobody's really going out and going Derrick Henry numbers anymore for the most part. We're just getting like 25, 30 carries a game anymore. So at least I don't really think. But so, you know, it's good for that. But I don't know. Like, fantasy, I just drafted Breece Hall. Like hours before
the Dalvin Cook.
I was so pissed, man. I was pissed.
It was talking about the fantasy value would be for Dalvin Cook. It would be good early, but I don't know about long term. I mean, well, short yardage, I guess.
Breece Hall's value dropped. So I'm not to get into fantasy, but I just thought about that because that just irritated me. But I think it could work out, especially I think it'll work out more for the Jets. Just because, I think they're going to the playoffs.
Oh,
they better.
We're going to get to that.
They going to playoffs. I got to change my AFC. Oh, Lord, that's going to be tough.
So we're going to pick our play. August 30th is when we're going to pick our teams. The division winner, our final predictions is going to be August 30th. Now, I did want to say this. You should have some outlandish picks, but some logical ones. Just remember this. It's 6 new playoff teams each year.
Yeah, it could be that.
At least 6 in the NFL, In the NFL.
I don't know if I have 6.
I know I got at least 4.
Craig, it's hard. I'm juggling. I'm struggling, especially in the AFC.
Yeah, NFC is kind of more like it's a little easier to like. I mean, it's still some hard stuff, but it's still easier. But AFC, I truly believe it's gonna be a 10-win team that doesn't make it. It's gonna be a 10-win team that's gonna lose the tiebreaker, and they're not gonna make it.
Oh, it's gonna be a team with 10 wins in it. Probably two teams with 10 wins.
That's not gonna make it. They win 10 games, but they ain't gonna make it.
Yeah, it's gonna be. It's going to be real. But anyway, I think the Dalvin Cook signing was necessary. They need to run the ball. The Jets need to run the ball. I know everybody's saying Super Bowl. I get it. It's New York. But the best way to protect Aaron Rodgers, a not good offensive line, is be able to run the ball. Dalvin Cook's perfect. I don't know when Breece Hall is coming back. Breece Hall. I'm sorry. I don't know when Breece Hall is coming back. I don't know. Like it sucks, Craig. Because what if Dalvin's running well? It's real, man. So we're gonna see. But I know Dalvin Cooks always misses games too. So you know, if he could at least, you know, run hard the first maybe 4 weeks and Breece Hall could slowly work his way back. Zeke Elliott signing, I kind of like it. But the Patriots are doing something weird. I don't understand why they could have signed. This is what the Patriots could have done. And if they would have made these two moves, I would be thinking about them differently. They could have signed Dalvin Cook to a 1-year, $8 million deal, and they could have signed D-Hop. They have the cap space. Now, if they sign both of them guys, I'm looking at the Patriots totally different, right? You're like, damn, they got Dalvin Cook and Mac Jones got number one receiver. Now I'd have been like, I don't know, they might make it, right? But I don't know what they're doing. Zeke fits what Belichick wants to do. He's a good third down back. Stevenson's going to eat, but I think it's going to be good to spell Stevenson sometimes. Absolutely. Keep him healthy to keep the legs fresh. Zeke is a hard worker. He fits the Patriots mold. He's a good pass blocking back. He's going to be good on short yardage.
And I think he's motivated, and Belichick will use that. Belichick will use that mentally with him to be like, look, you know, you look how long you had to
get the Patriots played the Cowboys, I think, week 6. But
yeah, Todd just told me about that. Todd said he's looking forward to that. They come to AT&T Stadium.
I think they're going to punish the Patriots anyway. I don't know. They're not going to punish them. The Patriots are just the average team, I think.
Unfortunately. They're going to play hard. Like, it's rare that you're
always going to play hard.
Yeah, it's just
Belichick, I don't know what you do if you're Robert Kraft. You know, it's grumblings. Patriots fans, I talked to a Patriots fan in Boston. He was like, man, Belichick don't make it to the playoffs. He needs to go. I'm like, y'all are savages, yo.
I mean,
this man brought y'all six Super Bowls.
I mean, that's fair, James, but at a certain time, it might
be. Boston fans saying, get his butt out of there. I'm like, yeah.
It's time to write. It's savage. That is savage.
I would just let him finish out his 2 years. Yeah. I'll let him break Don Shula record, and then I would be like, all right, man. If you want to still coach, that's okay, but you know,
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? But Patriots fans aren't like that. They're saying if they don't go to the playoffs this year and win a playoff game, they want to fire Bill Belichick.
I mean, look at But look at Greg Popovich. He hasn't been to the playoffs in forever.
Exactly.
That's me.
I don't hear anybody talking about firing Greg Popovich.
Yes.
It's two different sports. It's two different.
I don't get
you
it.
Got Boston, a big town, and you got San Antonio, a small town. But, like, they've won multiple championships. Pop has five. Belichick has six.
I don't get it, Craig. Just let him ride the sunset, break Don Shula record. Peace. But they're talking about firing him. A Boston fan was like, I was like, so, you know, I asked him this. I said, so, you know, you're a Boston fan. He's like, yeah. I was like, so, what's your thoughts on Belichick? Man, Belichick won. He won these, you know, he won these Super Bowls for us. But, man, if he don't win this year, man, he got to go. I was like, golly. I was like,
they are still rough, man. It's like sometimes your team just gets too used to winning, and then you stop winning, and all of a sudden now you just want change. Which is sometimes change might be good, but sometimes it might not be. Like, I would love to have six championships for the Panthers. And have Bill Belichick still there coaching the Panthers.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say
I would not be complaining.
Maybe if it happened, I'd be like, and they're not winning anymore, maybe I'd be like, okay, he's got to go. But I don't know, man. I just haven't.
I would let him finish coaching out.
I don't know.
Does he retire with the
Lakers,
if he can find anything, he retire?
They signed Kobe to a large deal, and everybody knew Kobe.
I don't know if he retires this season. I don't know if he retires this season.
No, I'm saying if he gets fired. If they say they have a
eight, 7-9
season, I'm like, do you see Bill Belichick retiring? Or do you see him taking a job somewhere?
He's gonna take his job.
If it's right though, he ain't gonna take his job.
He's gonna want full control, and somebody will give it to him.
You gotta look at coaches that's gonna be on the hot seat. Like,
yep.
Dallas.
I had somebody, I was listening to J Mac. He had a theory. He said that San Diego's not gonna make the playoffs and they're gonna fire Brandon Staley and they're gonna hire Jim Harbaugh.
So listen. That is my hardest pick for AFC. I've gone back and forth 20 times in my head about them making the playoffs, not making the playoffs. And it's because of Brandon Staley. It's not because of talent. Brandon Staley has dropped the ball from a time management, from a just overall control standpoint.
Their defense is horrible.
Yeah. So I thought he was going to have them out there balling. They've not. Yeah, they haven't looked at.
I don't know who to pick, but this is going to – I don't know what Boston fans – they're rough, man. They're rough. Speaking of fans, Mo, Eric Bieniemy came out. Some players said they didn't like the harsh language and the hard coaching. They said they didn't like Eric Bieniemy yelling at them. What do you think about that?
So one thing I heard is they went to McLaurin to be the bearer of the news to Rivera. About that, I heard reports that they ain't personally go over to Rivera. Like, players went to McLaurin and then was like, "Hey, can you come talk? Can you go talk to Coach Rivera about how this going down?"
Because McLaurin said he liked it.
Yeah, but honestly, I've told people I've talked to about this, I blame it on Rivera, and I blame it on Snyder, because you brought offensive people around here that has not held us accountable. So now, when players are there, because think about this for a second. A lot of the players that's on that offensive side of the ball been there with us and have seen and went through Scott Turner. So it wasn't like it's a whole bunch of new offensive people you brought in there that didn't deal with Scott Turner. You know what I'm saying? So for a lot of the dudes now to complain, it's like you're now used to something you didn't have. So now you're mad, and now you want to go complain about it. And it's like, okay, Ron Rivera, you sat there. We seen it. We seen it against Cleveland. He's sitting there, the offense stinging it up. He got the sad face. You got Chase Young, who was just coming off an injury, being more upset than you are.
Yeah.
And saying, what are we doing here? Like, Carson Wentz stinking it up. And you sitting there with the same stuck face that Jay Gruden used to have. Mm. Looking like you don't know what's going on. Mm. So it's like, I think it's a combination of ownership fault, and these dudes, they're not used to it. They haven't been used to it because, you know, Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder didn't bring people in there offensively that was holding people accountable for the last 4 or 5 years. Mm. So now when they get somebody that's going to hold them accountable, but what do you expect, though? Like, think about this for a second. And this is where I hate to say it, but I think a lot of dudes either don't got pride for themselves or don't listen to what they're saying or don't really pick up on stuff.
Yeah.
What did you really expect? You get a dude who coming from a team that's won what, three? If I'm not mistaken, two of the last three Super Bowls?
Yep. They've been to five straight AFC
championships. Right, five straight AFC championship games.
Yep.
And what, they've been through what, three? They've been to what, three of the last four Super Bowls or four of the last five or three of the last four or something like that?
Three of the last four.
Yeah, they've been three last four Super Bowls. And he's been the offensive coordinator. What do you expect? And everybody kept saying, and everybody kept dismissing this man and saying, oh, it's Andy Reid's genius. So now he gets opportunity. What, you expect him to come in here soft with no intensity? Like, come on, he got something to prove. He's trying to prove himself to be a head coach. And then he's been up for a head coach job and haven't gotten him. And now, okay, I'm gonna say, okay, I'm gonna come to Washington and be an old coordinator. So why do you not think he's gonna come with intensity? Yeah. Like, it bothers me. And even Book, I'm not mad with Booker McFarland coming out talking about him. He plays soft these days, because that's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? I got no problem with it. I think it's been well needed in Washington for a while as far as intensity and accountability on that offensive side of the ball. And I got absolutely no issue with it.
Yeah, I don't. You know, Shady McCoy came out. I disagree with him on this. And he's like, well, you know, that's all he does is yell, yell, yell. But then you have Patrick Mahomes saying, like, he likes that. He likes the coaching hard. He says he's going to keep you accountable. And here's my only thing, pushback with Shady. He's going to a place where we haven't won in a long time, and he's coming from a place that has won all the time. Maybe a different coaching style is needed in order to win. That's what you brought him in for. If the players don't like being held accountable, you don't want to win. It's the bottom line. You know, I'm listening to it was a reporter that was in training camp. I think Sean McManus. He was on a Colin Collard show. Colin Collard was like, what are your thoughts about this? And he said that from what I looked in practice, the yelling was warranted, which means the players aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, yeah, I agree with it. And I think that this is an overreaction. You brought him in to coach, let him coach. And if the players have a problem with it, let address him. Don't go around him and address Ron Rivera. That's crazy. You know? And Ron Rivera came from the Andy Reid system, so, you know, I just hope that we get it together. But I ain't see nothing wrong with it. Craig, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with both of y'all. I just think that this whole thing's been blown out of proportion. It's just getting a lot of attention. I think I'm hearing about it more because I'm in this area and I listen to sports radio on the way in and on the way home normally. So I've been hearing about this for or at least I heard about it all last week for the most part. But I mean, I don't know who's complaining or whatever it is. They were trying to speculate on the radio who was complaining or who do you think it was and all this stuff. And I was like, it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters to me who it was, but I mean, just the fact that they're complaining, it's weird. It's just like you're just not. It's just a soft mentality to me, and I agree with Mo and I agree with both of y'all. It's just, I mean, the guy, like you said, is coming from an organization and a culture where they've won multiple Super Bowls. They've been the AFC Championship games, and you get here to a different system that I guess I don't know how it was before he got there or how it was in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Clearly, it wasn't as intense as it is now, and he's not, and he's holding people, like, and maybe there was no accountability going on, but he's trying to be intense. He's holding people accountable. If he yells at you, he yells. Like, this is how some coaches are. Like, this is the personality of this guy. Like, this is what he, this is how he is. So you have to work with, you have to work with that, and you have to deal with that, and you just have to just go out there and just do your job. Like, if that means you got to go out there and be the best wide receiver and just run your routes properly. I mean, obviously, if you're not running your routes properly, this is just an example, I guess. If you're not running your routes properly, you expect to get cussed out or yelled at. I would assume, like, if you go out there and you run your routes properly and doing your job like you're supposed to be doing to 100% of your ability, then I, you know, he has no reason to yell at you. Catching the balls, whatever it is, running the ball right, blocking, do whatever you need to do for the offense, he has no reason to yell at you. I just don't see what the issue is for grown men to be telling to their tattletale or going running to their coach crying about they're getting yelled at by their OC because they're not used to it, because that's not how it was. This is a different time, man. Washington hasn't won in forever. It's a new ownership going on. They want to change the culture. This is what they need, man. This, maybe this is what they need, and they're kicking the pants. And this is, I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs in a while. They were what, 2-4 under Snyder in the playoffs, 2 wins and 4 losses. This is probably what they need, man. Like, they need this intensity. They need an aggressive coach. They need somebody who's going to hold people accountable and go out there and just want the best out of their players. And if that means he's yelling at you, he just wants the best from you. He just wants to, he wants you to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
Period. Like, I just don't see no other reason to sit there and cry and run to your coach and tell and moan and whatever it is. Like, is that kind of stuff should, like, that bleeds over, and it's going to show in your performance. So, I mean, you want to go out there and just play your hardest and play your best and pretty much just just shut him up. If you don't want him yelling at you, just go out there and do your job and shut him up. He's not gonna yell at you then. So, you know, I just don't see the big deal about him doing that to his players, and, you know, the players are making a big deal out of it when I don't think they should be. So,
speaking of it, I was going to bring this up, but right now I was going to talk about Joe Burrow, but it looks like he's starting. You know, he's going to start week 1.
I figured he's going to start, but I just figured he would get a new contract first before he actually – I mean, it's still time.
Yeah.
But I figured he'd get a new contract before he actually hits out on the field again, but what do I know? He's only been hurt the last 2 preseasons. What?
Yeah.
3 years, pretty much.
3 years, even basically, yeah. So that I put that in there because there was talk like he could miss the first 4 weeks, but then right as of today he's starting week 1.
I think we're safe.
I don't think he's going to miss any significant time because, you know, in the AFC he can't.
Oh no, not at all.
Not with their schedule.
Forget the AFC, just his division. Because I truly think the Steelers are going to be better than last year, and I think the Ravens are going to, you know, take a step forward. So
the Browns for that.
Browns too. Deshaun looked good in I know it's preseason. I know, James, you hate preseason. But Deshaun looked sharp and looked like he's letting go a lot of the stuff that happened. You know, he finally got a full all season without all the, you know, all the stuff, the distractions.
Yeah, who's looking like good?
Deshaun. He looked crisp against us. He looked all right. But he had command of everything going on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to make my picks, man. The Bengals. So the reason I put that question because – and now Joe Burrow's going to be 100% for week 1, so there's no point in talking about it. But Jamar Chase is like, he can miss the first couple of weeks. And I was like, nah, they got their first 4 games. They have Cleveland, Baltimore. Those are 2 hard games off the break. I don't think they're winning any either of those without Joe Burrow. Nah. And then they got the Rams, the Titans, and the Cardinals.
That's 2-3 at best. That's best case scenario. They might be 2-3 if that's how they
start. They didn't have Joe Burrow for the first 5 weeks. I can see them losing 3 games, maybe maybe 4.
Mm-hmm. I can't see them losing 4.
I can see them losing the first.
Quarterback? Is it still AJ McCarron? Who they back quarterback?
I can't see that.
Still AJ? Right, still AJ McCarron? I don't even know. I don't think.
I think it's Trevor Siemian.
Lord have mercy.
It's Trevor Siemian and Jake Browning.
It'll be Trevor Siemian starting probably. Okay. Well, but he's going to be back. But, you know, it's tight. Yeah, the AFC is tight. You're going to need your Burrow. But that is very interesting. Damn, Craig. This is like, man, is this his like third year in a row that he's going to miss training now?
I mean,
he missed it last year, right?
He missed it last year. I think he played in his he did in his rookie season. He just got hurt against the Commanders, I believe.
Yeah, he got hurt. Chase Young sacked.
WFT at the time, but yeah, he missed it last year. He's missing it this year. I mean, if I'm him, I gotta get a new contract before I step on the field. Something higher than I thought it was gonna get done like a couple of days after
Herbert,
but then he got hurt. So we're here now, and now we just
gotta wait on it.
Wait. I would try to get my money. Try to get back on that field again. There's a lot of people saying anyway. I would just try to get my money. I mean, there's no point in this is the guy. So
You think he's gonna play? You think they're gonna sign him before the season?
Yeah, I think so. The season's like what? A little less than a month away.
Hey, when Burrow came in the league?
2020.
Yeah, 2020.
Sorry, hold on.
This is fourth year.
He's going by fast. But I'm like,
He played the 2020 season, got hurt. Then he played the full season 2021. Then that's when they went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then they played full 2022.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I was like, damn. He's been pretty good, though.
He has been a beast. I'll give him that.
You said, huh?
I said he has been a beast in college.
He's been sacked the second most times since he came in the league.
Yeah,
so he's been sacked 124 times since 2020.
Both full seasons he played, his completion percentage was 68-70, and he's thrown for 4,000 plus yards. And 34 touchdowns and then 35 touchdowns. He's one of those quarterbacks that he can have a crappy offensive line and he's gonna overcome it.
That's fair.
Because he's done it.
They
didn't win a Super Bowl, but he got them all the way there.
They should have.
Just like Patrick Mahomes.
They should have won that game. I'm sorry. Like I've never seen a defense let a team down the clutch like that. Like you got to do something with Cooper Kupp. Like that's just wild. Like you had that game won.
They had the game won at the end of the game until Aaron Donald got Burrow, and then because that's when Ramsey fell down and he had a wide open Jamar Chase.
Mm-hmm. Jamar Chase was.
If he had super open. Two or three more seconds, he would have had. They would have able to win the game on a walk.
He would have threw it right to Chase.
That would have been the game. They would have won that game, but
they would have won the game.
Aaron
Donald great.
Offensive line was terrible.
Hey, I know if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk, but I'm gonna ask y'all a question though. Do you think they would have? Do you think if they, you know, I know that last second where it was roughing the passer call. Uh-huh. Do you think if that went different, they won? Do you think they could have beat Philly last year?
I was thinking about that the other day. I was literally thinking about that. I was like, I think Philly wins that trade, dog.
Yeah, I just don't think they could be. I don't know their defense would
hold up. I think Philly wins that thing.
Yeah, I was thinking it would have been different. Like that's.
That joint would have been a bomb Super Bowl.
But that
Super Bowl was good, but that joint would have been like that joint.
Thought somebody though, from a mental standpoint though, how do you like? I know we grown men, but it's still a mentality thing too. From a mental standpoint, if you're Cincinnati now, you lost the Super Bowl like you did, like Craig just said. It was close. It was a tight game. You lost how you lost. And you come back the next year and lose in the AFC Championship game like you did. How do you overcome that now, 3 years in a row now, and try to get back? Like, how do you – like, it's going to be interesting to see how they coach that up, how they come at this and attack this.
Interesting.
Because that can break a team. Like, we've seen it break other teams.
Ain't going nowhere.
I mean, you look at Kansas City lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
They came back.
They came back. They won a Super Bowl. But, right. I mean, they also lost in the Super Bowl
to Tampa.
They got punished in the Super Bowl, too.
And then they lost to the Bengals in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I mean, everybody don't come back like that. It's going to be interesting to see, though. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they
work. And last year, his ankle gets hurt, and he has one of the best postseason run we've seen.
He's going to need some.
Yeah, it's going to be. Mo, that's a good point. I think it's going to be on Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow can handle it, though.
Yeah.
I think he can handle it. I think he's.
My eye on team is Buffalo right now. I'm trying to see how Buffalo will handle this now. Because now, I compared this the other day, and they said, Mo, that's a good point. I said, I compare Sean McDermott. If we're going to be fair, I'm comparing Sean McDermott to how they did Tony Dungy in Tampa. After a while, you get this long time. You've been there. You got the team you wanted, and you ain't done it. Like, how do we react now? How do we move on?
If they don't, Buffalo's very interesting.
AFC is going to be interesting. That AFC.
Yeah. If
Tua stay healthy, Miami's going to be a problem. Miami's not going to be no pushover. They not going to be no pushover.
They said Shady McCoy is silly for this, but he was like, Tua put on like 10 to 15 pounds, I think, muscle.
Uh-huh.
And then he's learning how to fall. He's like, how do you work? You can play football all your life.
Yeah, how you learn how to
fall? How you fall?
That's fair though. That's a fair point though.
I mean, I hope Tua stays healthy. If Tua gets another concussion, he might have to,
Yeah, because is he fully cleared? Has he? Of course, you're not gonna play him in the preseason, but has he been? Has he been practicing?
Yeah, he's 100% though. He's 100%.
That's definitely a watch. Because listen, with the receivers they got, Waddle and Hill. Lord, man, mercy. Waddle was out there just Lord, have mercy. I mean, before Tua got hurt, Waddle was out there just. Lord,
man. I love Waddle.
And Hilner came out and said, I think I can get 2,000. Oh, Lord. I said, I don't know about 2,000. I said, 2,000 hard, yo. 2,000. I said, you get 2,000, you a bad man, yo.
Mo, it's a passing league.
It is. But you think somebody will get 2,000 in the next 3 years?
It's an extra game.
It's an extra game. I think it can be done.
How much
did
Jefferson just get 19? Didn't Jefferson get 1,900?
Let me see. I'm about to tell you. Tyreek
got a couple years ago.
What did Tyreek get last year?
And Cooper Kupp had 1,947, so it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done.
2021.
Tyreek Hill has 1,700 yards, receiving yards last year.
And that's with Tua missed what? Four games?
Yeah. Yeah, if Tua stays healthy for 17, I could see that.
Yeah, I said, dang, 2,000. That's with Waddle still doing what he's doing. Oh Lord, that could be interesting.
They still got
Cedric Wilson from Dallas, and then tight end, and then tight end. Now they lost Gesicki. Didn't Gesicki leave or he resigned?
Yeah, Gesicki's in New England. Justin Jefferson put up 1,800 yards.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, that record's gonna get. It's gonna get. It's only a amount of time.
Moss still got the record right from the year he put up. Nah, Moss. Somebody broke Moss' record. Man.
Calvin Johnson for the most yards.
Yeah, in the season. Yeah, Cooper Kupp broke the record, didn't he? Yeah, Cooper Kupp, didn't he break it?
Nah, he came close. He had 1,947. The record is 1,964.
Yeah,
okay.
Calvin Johnson. And he had an extra game to do it. So,
that's how great Calvin Johnson is. Calvin Johnson did it.
I ain't mad at him. He dominated his era. I mean, he retired early, but I'm not mad at him letting him in.
He said he couldn't get out of the bed.
Oh, yeah. I ain't mad at him.
He was like, man, he's like, my body hurts. He didn't play in a league where, he didn't play in the NFL where it's like passer friendly. He would be killing right now. He played in a league where people were hitting below the knees. people are headhunting. You know what I'm saying? Like, the defenses are putting – they're injuring quarterbacks when he was playing. So, you know, he – yeah, he has 1964. He did it in 16 games. And he has two 1,600-yard seasons. That's going to be broken. That's going to be broken. Yeah. Damn, he has the most 100-yard receiving yards games in season 11. He got a lot of records.
Just Jefferson's crazy. Like, didn't he break the most records in the first two seasons or something? I think he got the most yards ever in the first three seasons or two seasons. He going to year three, right? Just Jordan Jefferson. Jefferson.
Yeah, Jefferson numbers is sick. Justin Jefferson already has two seasons with 1,600 yards.
That's crazy. And they added the already, new USC. Then they had a dude from USC. I think he's gonna do well. Addison, yeah. In the slot.
Do you know Calvin Johnson? He has the most receiving yards in a single game. He had 329.
That's just crazy. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm gonna put you on. Listen, you gonna throw somebody else. After a while, you gonna throw somebody else. My pride will get in the way. I'll be like, we're gonna put the safety corner right here, double team you. You gonna throw somebody else.
He got
like,
a lot of records,
I ain't gonna let you, just cast me with this one dude.
He got the most games with at least 200 receiving yards. He has five.
That's great.
He got a lot of records, man. But anyway, I can see Tyreek Hill. Anyway, Craig, we're gonna wrap this up. I'm gonna ask you, Craig. Well, any takeaways from the Panthers? Have you been paying attention to anything going on in the Panthers camp or any news?
Obviously, I did not watch the game.
Yeah.
I don't even know what time it came. I don't know what day it came on, whatever. But from what I read and what I've heard, and what I've like some of the clips that I've seen, like Bryce Young, he looked decent out there. Like he's getting passes off pretty fast. He was just, you know, a couple passes were over receivers' heads. I think they need to figure out a receiver, like a go-to wide receiver, like a number one or something like that, especially on third down, because Panthers were terrible on third down from what I looked at. I don't know who that's going to be. The receivers are young for the most part. At least four of them are like 26 and under, but they're not a number. None of them are number one receivers. There's like four or five of them on the team, but they haven't established who's going to be the number one receiver. I guess the de facto one is Adam Thielen, but he's like 32.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's a number two. Yeah, I don't think he's it. Then you got Mingo, he's a rookie. You got Shy Smith, who I don't think so. Marshall and Chenault and Chark. So I just don't know who's gonna be the guy, especially on third down, that's gonna take the reins basically and just be like, give me the ball on third down. I'm gonna get open or whatever it is, I'm gonna catch it and just throw it to me. Offensive line was horrible. That's why they took. That's why Bryce Young, from what I heard, didn't play a lot because he kept getting hit. He got hit three times, I believe, and sacked once. Offensive line just gave up a lot of sacks, and they weren't good enough. So they need to figure that out. I thought the offensive line was going to be better this year, and I mean it's preseason, so I'm not really putting a lot of stock into any of this. But you don't want your number one quarterback who you traded up for to get hit three times in the first half or first in like two possessions or however many possessions he threw.
Yeah, especially his size.
Right. And it was just unacceptable. And they came out, a lot of the offensive line came out and said it, you know, that they were disappointed and that it's unacceptable. So they know what they have to do, but man, it was just terrible to hear about that. To be the only team not to score points. Yeah, it's preseason, but man, you want to at least score three. I mean, even I think the Dolphins scored three or whatever it is, Patriots or somebody. I don't know who it was. I think the Dolphins. But I mean, you want to score at least some points. I mean, they got shut out at home. Like I said, granted, it's a preseason game, so it really doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. But man, you just don't want to get look stupid out there for the most part. So they got some work to do. They got the I don't even know who they played this weekend coming up. But
I can tell you.
Or the Giants, am I?
Yeah, the Giants.
So that's going to be a interesting game. The Giants have a solid defensive line as well.
Yeah.
So I will give the defensive line credit for the Panthers. They were getting after, I mean, the Jets, but I mean, you know, the Jets don't have a good offensive line. So they were getting after them for the most part. They weren't sacking anybody. I think they had ended up only one sack, but they were getting after them, at least putting pressure on them, making them throw the ball quickly. Yeah. So I will give the defensive line credit for that. But overall, man, it was a rough outing for the Panthers in the first game. I'm hopeful that they can at least get Bryce Young some more time out there in the second game. This is usually the game where you want to have your starters out there at least for a longer period of time. I wanted them to play a whole period, I mean, a whole quarter. But yeah, with everything that went on, you can't leave them out there that long. So hopefully they'll get him out there for at least a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half, if the line can hold him up against the Giants. But we'll see. I was hoping for a better performance, I guess, especially from the O-line.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was like, damn.
Yeah, no rookie really played. I mean, they're rookies. And I've seen a lot of people saying.
Yeah, I saw that question. Was like, nobody really, like, played. They're rookies. It's one game.
I see a lot of people saying C.J. Stroud is trash.
One game.
No football players. I was hoping that O-line had him running for it. Like, that was terrible. Like,
trash.
You know how hard it is to be a starting NFL quarterback? Right. Let's put this in perspective.
I'm like, it's preseason.
It's preseason.
Give him time. Regardless of even if they're trash in their rookie season, you have to give them some type of time. Like I said,
Peyton Manning was trash his rookie year.
He was.
Yes.
Interceptions or something. Peyton Manning was trash. He threw what, 26?
And Troy was trash too.
You just got to give him time, man. You can't. I mean, I'm not going to come out and say for the most part, I'm not going to say that their quarterbacks are trash. I'm going to just give them two or three. I'm going to give them 3 years like I normally do. And then I'll make my evaluations after that. But, you know, it is what it is, man. I just know that hopefully this is not indicative of what is to come for the season. Because if that's the case, it's going to be a long season.
Oh, yeah.
It's preseason, so I don't. Yeah. As long as nobody gets hurt for the most part, that's all I really care about at the end of the day. So it wasn't no big significant injuries for the Panthers. So you just got to go into this next preseason game and hopefully get out the preseason without no injuries and move on to week one against the Falcons.
Yep. Well, September 10th. Mo, last question.
I like
what's your takeaways from the Commanders so far?
I like how we commanded. I like how we ran the offense. Looks like the enemy wants to sling the ball around a little bit and then be balanced. We had the receivers for it. Offensive line had some breakdowns, but four new starters, you won't have that. I think as we come along, I've always said this to people. You know, people in my building, I walk all the time. People are like, man, what do you think about the Commanders? I said, O-line play and defensive back play is what's going to lead us. If O-line play and our secondary get better, we can make the playoffs. If they don't get better, we're going to be in trouble. But I like what I saw. I like for my defense making that goal line stance. I like the rookie put his nose in there. Sweat, who's trying to get money. I think, honestly, I told people this, and we get into this. I would not be surprised if all four of our starting D linemen get at least 9 sacks or more this year. I think it's a motivation there. From a talent standpoint and from a motivation standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised if they at least get 9. If each one of them get at least 9. Like Sweat trying to get his money, you know, with Young trying to get his money, we know we're going to get from Payne and Allen. I could see them eating this year. I could see them really, you know, eating this year. I wasn't mad at all. And then even Brissett came in and he played well. So I'm not mad at our quarterback room. I'm not mad at what's been going on. You can see Howell's having a commanding offense. He's coming in. You know, he's throwing the ball like it needs to be thrown. You know, running game getting involved. We even put Gibson in the passing game. So I'm not. Yeah, I like what I'm seeing so far.
So I've said this on record, and I'm gonna probably continue to say this. I say it to my friends. the O line is a big issue for a rookie quarterback. And, you know, it's up to Howell. He's going to have to figure it out. Because if our O line plays like we played against Cleveland, it's going to be a long season, bro. It's going to be a long season. And then, you know, our defense is good to the point where we're going to be in some games. But if we get a nine, if we have a 9-8 record, and it's like, man, we're 9-8. And this is a year Caleb Williams is coming out. Missed out on that one. But the joint practices with Baltimore, they've been good. I like it. We played them on this next Monday. So that's my takeaways. I think the secondary is going to be good. I think our defense is going to be good. I hope Chase Young proves me wrong, but I'm going to continuously say this. We probably should have drafted Herbert.
He wasn't feeling Herbert a couple years ago. Now he wants to draft. He said, huh? I said he wasn't feeling Herbert. But listen,
I would probably have a Herbert jersey if we drafted him. Think about it. If we drafted Herbert, we had the same team we had now. We would have made the playoffs.
I mean, think about now, though. I ain't gonna lie though. If we could redo that draft now, I would say Herbert. Like,
what's every draft we do? I see Herbert going to us.
Yeah. Like I would walk that card up. Like, if you could give me a redo now with what I seen from Herbert and what I seen from Young, yeah. I wouldn't even bat an eye. I'd be like, yeah, go get Herbert.
Well, Young was supposed to be how Nick Bosa is.
Right.
If Young was born like Nick Bosa, there would be no conversation. Right. Nick Bosa even missed a year to injury. He's balling. I say this all the time. They're like, oh, give Nick Young more time. I'm like, yeah, but look at Nick Bosa. He had a promising rookie year, and it's kind of been downhill since. So I hope he has a bounce back season. I hope he does.
I think he is. I mean, you know that contract year for a pass rusher. Everybody, we've seen it 1,000 times how these pass rushers all of a sudden they need a contract year. All of a sudden they just ball out.
I hope so.
Watching the wins, because I'm tired. Even though we don't live in Baltimore and I don't hear it as much, but I'm tired of hearing about Baltimore and their 24-0. Or they won the
last game. I didn't realize
it was a record.
They lost I think like 2015 or something crazy like that.
I was like, what the hell? Who keeps track of that?
I'm like, who cares? What does that mean? That doesn't mean like it
doesn't mean nothing.
You could go 0-3 in the preseason, and you could go 13-4.
We've seen it.
You could do the vice versa and go 3-0 and then end up going 4-13.
I've seen us the year that we had the second pick, we went 3-4 on preseason and we had the worst record in the league.
Nothing to me. And the Ravens, they won 24 in a row and they can't get the pass to what second round and Lamar can't stay healthy for the playoffs. Right. Like, what does it mean?
Somebody told me that the other day. I saw him on First Things First, and my man Matt was like, "They got it." I'm like, "What is
happening?" Talking about this for years. I'm so sick of hearing about it. It's one of the dumbest stats in sports.
It is. I'm like, "What?"
Dumbest records, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. It's
Kansas City just lost a preseason game.
It's pointless.
Yeah, I'm like, Patrick didn't even play. I'm like.
They give out
championships. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is not going to touch the field of preseason. Yeah, bro.
It was good to see Trey Lance play and do well. I mean, I'm hoping the best for him, but we know Purdy going to play if he gets out.
Trey Lance looked bad, but everybody's like he looks bad, but he didn't play. He hasn't played.
He won't play this year either.
What do you expect for Trey Lance to do? He played one game of college football. They drafted him.
He played one game in the pros, and it was a monsoon, and he got hurt. Like, it was a terrible It was just a terrible game for him to play.
What up against the Bears?
Yeah, first game, last year.
I like Traylon. I think they should give him, like,
I want to see Fields do well. Out of everybody, I want to see Fields do well. Like, Fields, I like Fields.
Yeah, I think, well, Fields is getting supported. I wish Trey Lance was getting the same amount of love. But it was,
I know Ohio State quarterbacks haven't done well, like, but I still.
They
We got to see. But, hey, the good thing about Trey Lance is all his money's guaranteed for the next 2 years. So, even if they cut him, he's going to get paid. They're not going to try. They're not going to do that. They're going to want to trade him.
He'll end up on somebody's roster if they get rid of him or trade him.
He ain't going to be one of them retired situations early if he get.
You haven't seen nothing from him. Like he pretty much.
You haven't seen anything.
You know, nowadays, the offensive coordinator, they're going to be like, oh, I can do something. You know, somebody going to grab him and be like, I can do something.
Yeah. He has a ton of potential.
I don't know what he can do, man, because you have money.
It's weird. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know.
And then it's John Lynch wanted to draft him, and then Kyle Shanahan didn't. But somebody made a good point. They were like, Trey Lance is a project. And the 49ers are built to win now. So, well, the timelines, it really didn't
let me ask y'all a question. Because is Kyle Shanahan on the same length with McDermott? About you've been there long enough, the team is stacked. Like, when you going to win something? I mean, at least he's been to a Super Bowl. I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl, so I guess you get a little bit of leniency on that. But is he on that same wavelength with McDermott?
He's been in the championship game a lot.
I got you. Yeah, that's fair. And he's won the championship game this year with a third-string quarterback.
I think he's going to win a division this year again.
He's in a tough situation though. He's getting there. He's getting to that point where it's like you got to do something. You got to win. Yep. With all this talent, because you just went out. You got CMC last year. You got a great defense.
Yep.
You got some really good wide receivers. Kittle's getting older. You got an offensive line that's pretty good. You got dude from Washington.
Trent Williams.
Like you got Bosa. Like you got a lot of talent there. And then you got a weak NFC. Besides the Cowboys and maybe the Eagles, for the most part.
That's it, the Cowboys and the Eagles.
I mean, other than that, you got some up-and-coming teams, but those are pretty much your competition. Mm-hmm. And you have to – I mean, I could give McDermott a pass kind of sort of because even though he hasn't had as much success as Shanahan has, he's in a tougher conference. He's in a tougher
That's fair.
This dude is in the easiest conference. It hasn't been. I don't remember the NFC being this easy in years. I've
never seen it this easy. I don't know.
Where all the talent, for the most part, especially a quarterback, is in the AFC. Yeah. And there's no top. I mean, maybe there's two top 10 quarterbacks in the NFC, and that's.
I would say Hurts,
Dak, and Hurts.
Dak might be outside.
Maybe not. Yeah, yeah.
Dak might be like 11.
You can make an argument, I guess, for that. But Hurts is definitely in.
Hurts.
Oh, yeah. You could probably make an argument for maybe last year was an outlier because all the interceptions or whatever it is. But
you can make an argument for Dak top 10. You could.
In the AFC.
You could.
So, I mean, at some point, he has to, even though he has young quarterbacks, especially the last pick in the draft type quarterback, but – I mean, he's had Jimmy, he's had Jimmy Garoppolo there, whatever it is. Even though I don't like Jimmy Garoppolo, but man, he just has a lot of talent. Other than quarterback, he has talent. You can say this team is a quarterback away.
Yeah. I wonder how it's gonna be with the Raiders.
Yeah, you're right.
That's gonna be interesting.
This team is a quarterback away. This
quarterback away is terrible. When they get a quarterback, they've done well. Not every team, but at least the Broncos, they were quarterback away. Trash.
Yeah,
but I don't have mercy.
I don't know, man.
If Aaron Rodgers went there, if Aaron Rodgers said I want to go to San Francisco, I would pick them to win the Super Bowl.
I would too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I get that one.
But Like that would be Super Bowl or bust.
He probably would.
But I seen the I don't know if it was Facebook, but I seen a thing where they was talking about tiers, and they said like kings of the NFC. They put Philly and San Fran. They put the bottom tier that maybe they can knock them off. They put Dallas. And they put everybody else as like the fight for playoffs. Da da da.
You know. I hate to say it, man. Dallas looks tough this year, man.
So I mean, right now we would say Dallas third best team in the NFC.
Huh?
I think
like
so.
2/3, like maybe Dice 2/3 team in NFC.
Yeah, I look tough. If Philly
Gilmore has a Super Bowl hangover, and that pass rush,
if Philly has a Super Bowl hangover and San Francisco can't get their quarterback situation right, I hate to say it, but they might be in a bowl, man.
I'm not believing Dallas until I see them do something.
That's fair enough.
No, that's true. That's true. But they gotta. If this
always
is
always seem to get to the playoffs.
I mean, bro.
This is the season that they need to make a run.
And Philly out the equation. Let's say San Francisco and Philly out the equation. Who's the next person to like push Dallas if they loaf? Like, who's the next team in the NFC? We be like, all right, if Dallas gonna loaf. This next team we put up there is that third best team. Like,
not gonna lie, honestly, I got the Lions. I got to see their defense. The defense got to be better than it was last year, but the offense I think is going to be really good, especially when they get Williams at this suspension with Gibbs and Montgomery and St. Brown.
I think Minnesota wants to take
like
a step
the
back.
Seahawks too. A lot of people
I think Minnesota wants to take a step back.
I think Minnesota's done. Unfortunately, because I think they got some good young wide receivers there, but I'm just not a believer in Minnesota. They had too many close games that could have gone either way. They could have won.
Yeah, they're not going to do that again. That was crazy. What was it?
The opposite of what their record was.
13 close games.
It was something. I think all the games were close.
I think they won the most in NFL history. I think they won like 8 games or more with like under 7 points or less.
It was so many close games. It was a joke.
That's not gonna happen again.
It could have just
won. It was great games.
One of those games they had to come back against the Colts. They were down like 33-0.
33-0
or something like that.
They came watching that. I was like, everybody kept holding it on the farm. Like, hold up, they didn't what?
They came back
against Buffalo.
Yeah, they did. And last second, I think somebody fumbled in the end zone or something crazy. It was something crazy.
That game was crazy.
That's when that crazy crash. Jefferson made that crazy.
That sums up the Colts year.
pretty much.
That was a rough one.
33-0.
Ooh. That's crazy.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna change my mind. I'm glad we got to the end of the month, but
Saturday was coaching, right? Was Saturday coaching?
I believe so. Yeah.
I think my sneaky AFC pick. It's not sneaky, but they my AFC. They in my AFC championship game. Jacksonville. My AFC championship game right now. I might change it, but. I'm not saying AFC champs. Especially if really come back like he say he gonna do. Oh I'm my lord, that always gonna be crazy. Man.
Jacksonville got a weak schedule, bro. Mm-hmm. I look at the schedule, I was like,
it is. Pretty soft.
And their division.
And then they play the NFC South.
Yeah.
Oh lord.
You got the NFC South playing the NFC South, so.
I think Nick Wright said it. He was like, don't be surprised if Jacksonville has a good record because their schedule's like sucks. And their division is weak.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's gonna push them.
No, people like the Titans, and I'm like, nah.
I can see
James Winston leaving the Cardinals.
I'm not betting on them.
What'd you say?
Is James gonna do anything with college until the college football playoff, till they start doing the selection shows and stuff? Are we gonna do anything with the college?
I don't know. I guess we could add. I was gonna start watching college football again.
You know what, man? I guess gotta say, I'm tired, man. I'm talking about realignment. I'm sick of it.
Oh, this man. Realignment is getting out of control.
So right now, as of next year, I think like the Pac-12 only got like three schools or four schools right now. Everybody rolled out. It's money. I mean, it's a power struggle. It's money. Everything about money. We know.
Because it's right now. It's a lot of teams are in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
and a lot of teams are in the Big 12.
So Georgia's schedule. So the messed up part was Georgia's supposed to have Oklahoma on their schedule this year, because Oklahoma going to the SEC next year, they had to take them off.
Oh yeah.
So now that's why Georgia's schedule looks soft. It's like
Georgia's schedule is soft.
Alabama don't have a tough game too.
Alabama's is soft too.
It's soft. What? Everybody's schedule soft. Is soft. Like soft. Sometimes you normally start the season out where there's like a couple of marquee games on the first.
But they got Texas. I remember they got Texas.
Nothing but like there's Carolina against Carolina, South Carolina against North Carolina. There's maybe like one other game that's like pretty good. Other than that, it's like terrible. I don't even watch college football this year because it's just going to be the same.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you do got Florida State versus LSU.
They got Texas.
Florida State early.
Yeah, Alabama. Yeah, week two. I think week two or week three. Or
they got LSU late.
Normally, the start of the season, like the first weekend, is like something really, really good. And then the Monday night game is usually pretty something good. Something pretty whatever. I think it's like Florida. No, it's Duke and Florida State or something.
Duke playing Clemson on
Duke playing Clemson. That's the weekend. That's what it is. I knew they playing another ACC.
It's Florida State versus LSU, I think, on September 3rd.
Who wants to watch that?
No, that is November 4th. September. Now, Texas and Alabama play September 9th. That's probably going to be a good game.
Okay, that should be a deep. That should be a good promotional type of game.
But the wild part is
Texas beat them last year, right?
Nah, they lost. You remember Duke got hurt. They was giving Alabama all they wanted, but the quarterback got hurt.
Okay.
Yeah. So now you know Peyton Manning's his nephew.
His nephew is
is the backup there.
He's the backup. Their other quarterback's pretty good.
Yeah, he the one that got hurt. He the one that was balling out against Alabama and got hurt.
Yeah. I forgot his name.
Quentin Ewers or something like Quentin something.
Edwards or something Edwards like that. He'll probably go to the draft.
I like Quentin Williams. Shout out to him. You know, he's from DMV. You know, he played for Gonzaga. They played for Gonzaga.
So but, I don't know. We're gonna maybe some big college football games will cover, but I haven't watched college football in a minute. Maybe I'll get back into it. I'm gonna watch some Colorado. Probably one game. I just want to see how his son looks.
I can't get in the matchups like Middle Tennessee State against LSU. I just can't watch because I know it's gonna be for the most 99% of the time it's gonna be a 66-10. Like the team will score a touchdown the first drive or a couple drives, they'll be up 7-0. Next thing you know, LSU runs off 66 straight points. And you got my pump. You got me hyped up a little bit. You try to turn me over, but it didn't happen because I knew it was going to happen. And then here we go.
Colorado versus TCU might be decent.
TCU is not the same team as they were last year. They're not even ranked.
Damn.
Colorado's not ranked either, but I mean, that doesn't mean it's going to be a bad matchup. Might be a great game. Who knows? But
yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I just hate the realignment, man. It's just annoying me because it's just like taking all the historical rivalries away. I get it's changed and everything like that. You got to roll with it. But
a lot of historical rivalries.
Man, it's just like, why, man?
When I saw USC and USC and UCLA join the Big Ten, I was like, oh, man.
You might as well try to change the name. It's not even the Big Ten. It's like the Big 20 or something.
It's like the Big 20.
It's just crazy. They got too many teams. I don't know. I guess does this affect basketball too or just football? I don't even know.
I don't know yet. I gotta look at this. Because it's football season coming up, they only been talking about it from a football standpoint. But I think it's almost might be across the board because, like, how do you?
Yeah, because remember Maryland is in a Big Ten.
Yeah, when you do it, it's hard to do with just one of your clubs. Yeah. Well, you got to kind of do with multiple of your organizations or your clubs. So I can't see them just saying, but we're going to stay here basketball. Yeah, I don't think it works like that.
Only team that I know that does that is Notre Dame. That's because they're independent in football, independent. ACC basketball. Yeah. I don't know. I think the ACC in every sport except for football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe.
They probably stay.
Yeah, because they're independent.
They probably stay independent.
But
but now the ACC, I heard Florida State and somebody else trying to leave. So,
Clemson? I heard it was Florida State and Clemson.
Yeah, something like that. It was Florida State and somebody else trying to leave.
I mean, you're going to have, Rutgers, who's way on the East Coast, playing USC. What if you got to go from USC to Maryland?
Man, traveling is going to be
crazy. So now with the schedule, that's going to be messed up.
They're going to be missing a lot of passes.
Imagine now, you were Rutgers, you got to go all the way across to play USC, and the next week you got to play Ohio State and come back to East Coast, and you got classes in the school.
They're going to be missing.
What if you got to play USC and then turn around and play UCLA?
Yeah.
Right.
You got to come back out to the West Coast again. That's going to be brutal.
Yeah,
some of these teams having to go back to back, either way, East or West.
Because you know, if a pro team is playing San Francisco or Seattle, they're just going to stay.
Oh yeah, you ain't gonna go back.
They ain't got no class. I mean, they got families, but they ain't got to do all that.
I seen the quarterback joint. Man, I salute these quarterbacks. Anybody family. I mean, I should say the quarterbacks, but I mean, they were showing. I worked this summer enrichment program. And the kids watching the football things. They watched Patrick Mahomes.
When they lost
to Buffalo, he took his wife and his kids to this little ranch and hung out with them. And I'm like, man, salute to that. Cause I'm like, deal with all you got to deal with as a quarterback. You know, you guys still, hang out with your family, your wife, and still deal with everything going on. I'm like, man, it's tough.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
And that's what these college kids, y'all talking about, that's a tough thing. You go to USC, play a game, and they got to come back, like Craig said, and then turn around, you talking about go to UCLA or even come back home and go to Rutgers, and still study? That's a tough thing.
You got class.
Yeah, you got class, and you got to study, homework, and you got to still travel.
That's going to be brutal for teams in basketball. It could be even worse because, I mean, you got three games a week versus one game a week for football. So you're having to travel constantly or you're having to do a longer road trip or whatever it is. I don't know, man.
It's crazy.
It's going to be interesting to see how they play it out.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. We're going to see y'all next week. We're still going to start being on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Y'all tune in. Peace.
All right,
y'all.
Yeah.